Let's see, John Lithgow is an actor, an author, a musician. He's played an alien professor, a psycho killer, a transgender woman, and Winston Churchill. And now, after years of embodying other people's stories, he's taken to the Broadway stage to tell his own and a few others. The show is John Lithgow, Stories by Heart. In it, he introduces us to his father, Arthur, an actor and director who regularly moved his family around the country following the theater world. John tells us the story of his father and the stories his father told him from a wingback chair in what looks like a paneled library on a stage, bare except for a small table and a very large book.
This book, this actual copy, was a kind of family Bible in the Lithgow household, wherever that household happened to be at the time, because when we were kids, my father told us bedtime stories. He read them to us from this book. We would pick the stories, and he would read them out loud, performing all the parts full out. When I hold it in my hands now, my father comes back.
And John Lithgow joins us from the dressing room of the American Airlines Theater, where he's performing Stories by Heart through March 4th, Run, Don't Walk. John Lithgow, welcome.
It's wonderful to be here, Robin.
It's so great to speak with you. And you have been working on this for a while. Do I understand 10 years?
Yes, I started it as a kind of workshop.
And how'd you come to it?
In the summer of 2002, I just took care of my mom and dad when they needed it bad, and I had the idea of reading them bedtime stories from the same book that my dad used to read bedtime stories to me and my siblings. Mm-hmm. Tellers of Tales, a book of short stories. That was the beginning of the idea of creating this show.
You tell both stories from memory and weave your family story in and around it. The first is Ring Lardner's macabre short story, Haircut. You've got this gossipy barber telling his client in the chair about his good old boy pal Jim. Now, the barber seems to slowly realize, wait, maybe Jim is a misogynistic murderer? But first, here you are as the barber telling about how Jim tells the guys he's been fired.
He said, I've been selling canned goods, and now I'm canned goods myself. You see, the concern he'd been working for sold canned goods over in Carterville. And now Jim says he's canned himself.
It is a creepy story and a strange choice. What appealed to me about it is it lends itself to kind of theatrical treatment in which I mime every single detail of the haircut and the shave, mime every prop, and the silent customer himself, and work on the audience's imagination.
No kidding. I saw the customer, and I saw the razor, and I saw the strop. Is that what it's called? The leather?
That's right.
I felt you pull up his side cheek, you know, to have
right.
It nice and tight. When you're doing it, are you feeling a head in your hands?
Well, not exactly, but I know the audience is seeing the head in
yeah.
my hands. I try very hard to create that actual sphere. That and a whole bunch of sound effects. I make a little as I'm snipping his hair. I've even mastered the art of laughing while I snip his hair, so it sounds like every time I snap a towel, I make a little sound. It's fun. But I mean, apart from that, there is an extremely compelling story going on.
You talk about this guy having this good old boy gossipy conversation. Am I correct in thinking that over the course of it, it hits him at a certain point, like, oh, this is a terrible story I'm telling?
That has also crept in. That's sort of my interpretation of the story, is to build that in between the lines. So bit by bit, the humor curdles for everybody except the barber.
Beautiful to watch. And it also, I was thinking that it spans a certain spectrum of John Lithgow that we know. Somebody wrote in Deadline.com, about your face. It's a satisfying face, a smile slimmed by secrets, or is it menace? And that's how do you like that?
Oh, well, yeah, sure. I mean, it's nice to have a little mystery. You know, Bonnie Turner, she and her husband created Third Rock from the Sun. She talked to me about my face. She said, it's a very bland face, but it can go anywhere. I mean, I think that's a function of being a character actor and duality is my favorite term. I love characters who appear to be one thing, and then you gradually find out there's something else.
Hmm. Well, speaking of which, let's talk about the second story that you tell on stage. It's the P.G. Wodehouse farce.
Uncle Fred Flits By.
Right. And in tow, he has his nephew, Pongo Twistleton, which just to say that,
yes,
he was a nervous wreck.
That's the first laugh in the story is the name.
Well, because Uncle Fred is insane and takes him on this misadventure of, well, really, it's identity fraud. I mean, just...
Yes, right.
Yeah. What appealed to you about this? 10 characters, I think you play.
Well, the story I tell in the piece is that my dad was very old and was convalescing from a very brutal operation and was really near death and very, very depressed. And I had the notion of reading him bedtime stories, brought out the book, and the story they picked was Uncle Fred Flits By. And two things happened. I rediscovered the story, and it made my dad laugh.
Let's listen to the moment from the show.
And then it happened. My father started to laugh, a kind of helpless, gurgly laugh, almost in spite of himself. It was like the engine of an old car starting up after years of disuse. I kept reading, and he kept laughing harder and harder until he was almost out of breath. My mom turned and looked at him, eyes wide with surprise, and then she started laughing, too.
What a gift anyone would give to have that ability to do that when their parents are failing.
Well, I was very lucky to sort of stumble onto that opportunity. It meant so much to both of them. One of the things about this show that I'm so grateful for, I mean, how lucky am I that I was able to do that for my parents when they were alive, and that I'm able to memorialize them this way. My dad was a man of the theater himself. He was a storyteller. And when you grow old as an actor, one of the things you have to deal with is the fact that the most important things in your life are gone and forgotten. I literally had to persuade him that he had had a life of great achievement. It was an enormous relief to him to have his son tell him that. Well, this is a great thing, too, to speak his name in a Broadway show, yeah. A man of the theater who never got to Broadway.
Is it possible that we could hear a little of what was so hilarious about Uncle Fred?
Here's a little dose of P.G. Wodehouse dialogue. He says at one point to this old battle axe aunt, "Have it your own way, Connie." I was only going to say that while the jury were probably compelled on the evidence presented to them to give Cousin Alf Robbins the benefit of the doubt when charged with smuggling dope, everybody knew he'd been doing it for years. I'm not blaming him. Mind you, if a man can smuggle cocaine and get away with it, good luck to him, say I. The only point I'm trying to make is that we are hardly a family that can afford to put on dog and sneer at honest suitors to our daughter's aunts. Speaking for myself, I consider that we are very lucky to have the chance of marrying even into ill-jellying circles. Now, this won't make any sense to you at all out of context. In context, it stops the show.
Well, and the fact that he is making up out of whole cloth stories about cocaine selling for
right.
another family member. And yes, jellied eels
yes.
do make their way.
into everything I just spoke from Uncle Fred is a total lie, a total fabrication.
You tell the story about your family, though, as well as we've said. And I understand recently all your siblings were there.
That's right. Every night I introduced David, Robin, me, and baby Sarah Jane. Well, on this occasion, David, Robin, and Sarah Jane were actually in the audience. And it was one of the peak moments of my life, standing on stage and looking at them out there with my brother wrapping his arms around both my sisters. It was just incredible.
Did they yell out during the course of the evening? That's not how I remember it.
No. No, they've been very forbearing. But they just feel it's just wonderful that Arthur and Sarah, our parents, have just been given this moment.
Yeah. That's actor John Lithgow, his Broadway show, Stories by Heart, running at the American Airlines Theater through the first week of March. It's a hot, hard ticket, but try. John, thank you so much.
It's a real pleasure, Robin. Thanks so much.